And we're going to look at various passages within the book of Proverbs that show us that wisdom, true wisdom, is characterized by obedience and self-control, and it results in great blessing. Wisdom is wisdom does.
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
We're continuing our series today in the book of Proverbs, taking a look again at wisdom and the significance of wisdom, the characteristics of wisdom, the blessing of wisdom. Before we look at that, I have a question for you. I wonder, had anyone here see that 1994 movie Forrest Gump? Anyone see that here? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. It's the story of a slow-witted man who improbably impacted many different events in history throughout his lifetime. But one of the things that he would say oftentimes is he revered his mother, and he would say, "Mama always said," and then some kind of statement. See if you can fix, I know you can probably finish these. It says, for example, it says, "Mama always said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get," right? But then another one she said is that, "Mama said, stupid is as stupid does." Anybody here have to think about that one a little bit like I did, figure out what that means? Well, their mama was full of wisdom for young Forrest, wasn't she? And she gave him little proverbs, if you will, aphorisms by which to live. And that one that she said, where she said, "Stupid is as stupid does," what did she mean by that? When people would make fun of her son, saying that he's stupid, say, "Stupid is as stupid does," she would say, "Well, what? We reveal whether we're stupid or not by how we behave, our action." It's like, sure, you may think that he's stupid, but your action shows stupidity. What we do reveals whether we are wise or foolish, doesn't it? And so we might say, "Mama said stupid is as stupid does," but Proverbs says wisdom is as wisdom does. Wisdom is not simply knowledge, it is knowledge that is put into action. Proverbs says wisdom is as wisdom does. So as we look at Proverbs' wisdom for a successful life, remember we are defining success here as God defines it, not as the world defines it, and not even as some within the quarters of the church might define it. Success isn't necessarily money and fame and power, and it isn't even having all your life circumstances, ducks lined up all in a perfect little row there. You know what I mean by that? If every part of your life is going great, that's success, right? No. Success is when God looks at your life or mine and he says, "Well done." Whatever our circumstances may be, that's a truly successful life. And Proverbs gives us wisdom, wisdom for a successful life. Part two today, we're calling "Listen Up." Listen up, pay attention. Characteristics and blessings of wisdom. And we're going to look at various passages within the book of Proverbs that show us that wisdom, true wisdom, is characterized by obedience and self-control, and it results in great blessing. Wisdom is wisdom does. It's characterized by obedience and self-control, and it results in great blessing. Before we look at our passage in Proverbs 8, though, just a reminder from last time. We said, what is wisdom? How would you define wisdom? Well, there are a lot of definitions we can give, but for our purposes here, we'll say, well, wisdom is the ability to discern or to judge what is true, what is right, what is good, what is lasting. Wisdom and intellectual knowledge are not the same thing, are they? We may have an understanding of certain facts. We may know certain truths, but that does not mean that we're wise. Because wisdom is able to take those facts, that knowledge, and see into it, see through it, and make judgments then about what is true, what is right, what is good, what is lasting, what is best. And it leads to, applied wisdom then leads to success in life. But again, we said success as God defines it, not as the world. And certainly not success meaning everything in your life is going great. It's when God says, well done. What is wisdom? The ability to discern, judge what is true, what is right, what is good, what is lasting, what is important, what is of practical value, eternal value. And how are we going to get this wisdom? Comes from God, doesn't it? And we saw that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to be a wise man, if you want to be a wise woman, it starts with a fear of the Lord. Proverbs says it directly right there. It says it many times. We saw it in chapter 1, verse 7 last time. That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. What is the fear of the Lord? Remember we said it is a profound awe and respect for the nature and power of God. Are you amazed by who God is? What God is like? What God can do? By the nature of God, that is, who he is, his power, his knowledge, his holiness, the fact that he is eternal, that he's the creator. Are you profoundly awed by that? Sometimes we don't. We can start to take these things casually, can't we? Fear of the Lord is that profound awe and respect for the nature and the power of God. And then the other part of it, which I would suggest we often don't talk about as much in the church, we will focus on that first part. That's comforting, that first part, isn't it? You find that comforting to your soul to reflect upon? When you think about the nature and the power of God and that awesome respect for that. But you know, there's another part of fear of the Lord, and I would say it's that second part, and a sobering acknowledgement that God's holiness, judgment, and discipline are a consuming fire. In other words, you want, God is not to be trifled with. We become overly familiar with God, don't we? We talk oftentimes, and rightly so, about God's love, about his mercy, about his grace, about his patience. And all that we say about that is true, isn't it? But God is also holy, isn't he? He is just. He does judge and will judge. And yes, he disciplines those whom he loves, doesn't he? In fact, it is a consuming, Scripture says that his holiness, his justice is a fire, it is a consuming fire. I know we have a firefighter in our midst here, but I think we're all familiar with the power of fire to consume, aren't we? How just like that, in a matter of seconds, something can be destroyed by the power of fire. And real fear of the Lord is certainly awe and respect for the nature of God, power of God, but it's also a sobering acknowledgement that his holiness is a consuming fire. And yeah, we ought to be a little afraid of that. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the entrances, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is true. My mouth speaks to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Wisdom. I want us to focus today on the characteristics of wisdom and the blessings of wisdom as they are found in the book of Proverbs. Now, there is much we can say about the characteristics of wisdom and the blessings of wisdom just from the book of Proverbs, let alone from the entire scriptural teaching on these subjects. But for today, then, the characteristics of wisdom. Before we look at those things, I want you to know that wisdom is calling to you this morning. It's calling to me. Are you listening? I am listening. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? Are you listening to that call of wisdom? In Proverbs, wisdom here is personified as a woman. How many of you ladies think that that is appropriate, that wisdom is personified as a woman? How many of you guys think that's appropriate? Wisdom is like a woman calling out. To you I call out. You are a simple, gain prudence. You are a foolish, gain understanding. Listen, listen up. I have worthy things to say. Speak what is right. Speak what is true. She cries out to all who will listen. Listen up, listen to her. She has worthy things to say. What she says is right, it is true, it is just. She says, if you choose her instruction, that is the life of wisdom, it is better than silver, it is better than gold, it's better than rubies. That's right, it is better than any of the riches of this world. The riches of wisdom are better than any of that. There was nothing that you desire in life can possibly compare with wisdom. Now we know that wisdom is found supremely in the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? The New Testament speaks of Jesus Christ as the fulfillment and the embodiment of wisdom. God's wisdom is in Jesus Christ. And so there is nothing that is better than wisdom, and of course the Lord Jesus Christ, who embodies that wisdom. And we've seen that the beginning of wisdom, if this is such a valuable thing to have, well, I want to have that. Well, how do I get this? How do I become wise? Well, you start by fearing the Lord. And remember we said, too, that wisdom is as wisdom does. You want to know what wisdom looks like? Proverbs describes it for us by what it does. A survey of what wisdom does then today. What are the characteristics of wisdom? In upcoming messages, there are going to be 9 messages in this series. This is part 2. Next week we're going to look at folly. Folly is as folly does. Stupid is as stupid does. And then after that, we're going to focus on 6 key themes. 6 key themes of what wisdom does. Now, there are many different topics the book of Proverbs covers. We can't possibly cover them all. Dozens of them. But there are 6 of them that it speaks of more than anything else. And we're going to focus on those, and I want us to think first about those characteristics of wisdom, 6 key characteristics of wisdom. First one is A wise person, a wise man, a wise woman pursues righteousness. Pursues righteousness. Proverbs 12:28 says, "In the way of righteousness there is life. Along that path is immortality." If you want life, if you want eternal life, then you must pursue the way of righteousness. Now, of course, we know, if we just read that verse, if that's the only verse in the Bible that we knew, and we had no understanding of anything else, we might conclude, well, if you do righteous things that I think, then I'm going to have life and I'll live forever. That's immortality, is doing righteous things. But that's not what it's saying, is it? The Bible is saying, what? It's only what Jesus Christ has done for us. His righteousness, which has found eternal life. But if we're going to be wise men and women, we need to pursue the way of righteousness. And it starts with the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, living a righteous life, as God defines it, not you or me, therein is found life. Jesus said, what? I have come that you might have life, and have it to the full, have abundant life. Jesus is abundant life now, and he's eternal life forever. And the way that we come to know that righteousness and have that life is by faith. And then we grow in obedience and faith. In the way of righteousness, there is life, and along that path is immortality. We're going to look at what Proverbs says about the pursuit of righteousness and its value. Another key theme and another characteristic of what wisdom does, wisdom pursues righteousness first. Second of all, then, wisdom maintains sexual integrity. Major topic in the book of Proverbs is about purity, integrity, sexual purity, integrity. Proverbs 5, verses 15 through 23 says this. It sounds a little strange at first, but when you understand the poetic language here, you get the point of what the author's saying. Proverbs 5, verse 15 says, "Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well." In other words, yeah, so you know, don't be drinking water out of your neighbor's well. Drink water out of your own well. What? What does that have to do? It's a metaphor, isn't it? "Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breasts satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly." Sexual immorality leads to cords that ensnare. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. So wisdom pursues righteousness, and wisdom maintains integrity, sexual integrity, purity. Another thing, then, a characteristic of wisdom that we see in Proverbs emphasized repeatedly is that the wise man, the wise woman, is careful with speech. And the power of speech that we have, it's an amazing tool, isn't it? It's an amazing gift that we have. Has great power for good, doesn't it? It also has great power for harm. And so the wise person is careful what you say, when you say it, how you say it. Proverbs 13:3 says, "He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." Anybody here ever have a little trouble putting a lid on your mouth? You know, just comes whatever you say. Actually, sometimes I was going to say whatever you think, it comes right out. In some cases, it comes out before you even have thought it, right? It's so fast, you hadn't even had the thought, and it's already coming out of your mouth. He who guards his lips guards his life. Now, that doesn't mean the one who never says anything is wise. Never, ever say anything. No, it says who guard. In other words, there's care in what you say. When you say it, how you say it. But he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. You just let it flow right out of there. I guarantee you, you're going to say the wrong thing to the wrong person at the wrong time. Maybe you're going to bring ruin to that person's life, but you're also going to bring ruin to your own life if you don't learn to watch your mouth. And that's the title of that sermon, Watch Your Mouth. So the wise person then pursues righteousness, maintains sexual integrity, is careful with speech. The wise person then is also diligent, is diligent. Proverbs 15:19 says, "The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns." What is a sluggard? Can you imagine a slug, you know, just kind of like moving along like this or not even moving at all? "The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway." Sluggard is a person who's lazy and undisciplined and does not maintain and keep going, is not diligent at all, does not faithfully persevere. But they're lazy and they just sit back. And the way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns. The way is saying, like, if you don't show any diligence, any discipline, then life gets really hard, doesn't it? The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns. Now, even if you're living a wise life, life gets hard sometimes, right? But this pursuit of a righteous life, if you're a sluggard, if you have no diligence, is just going to be blocked with thorns, with pain. But the path of the upright is a highway, but when we are pursuing righteousness, being righteous by God's power, then life becomes like a highway of opportunities before us. So the righteous man, the righteous woman pursues righteousness, maintains sexual integrity, is careful with speech, is diligent. And then also, the righteous man or woman pursues real prosperity the right way. Pursues real prosperity the right way. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about prosperity and about money, but unfortunately, here's what happens, is there are some who have taken this teaching about what the Scripture says, and they've turned it into this thing where God wants you to be rich. How many of you have heard that? Oh, God wants you to be rich, right? He wants you to be healthy and wealthy. God doesn't ever want you to be sick. I got news for you. God wants you to be sick sometimes, and he wants me to be sick sometimes. You know why? Because holiness is more important, and he values holiness and Christlikeness, if sickness is a tool that he uses to do that, is more valuable than healing you of your disease. I got really angry a couple of weeks ago. And I wasn't in a position to say anything to the person who said it, but I could talk to the person who was told this. There is someone, a very sweet young woman who really has a great heart and has struggled with a lot of illness in her life. And she was told, if you had more faith, God would heal you. But I be careful with your speech. He who guards his lips is wise. He who speaks rashly will come to ruin, right? Oh, what I wanted to say to that person who told her that. God does not want you to be healthy and wealthy. Well, let me rephrase that. God does not want you to be healthy and wealthy the way we think about it, the way the world thinks about it, right now. But you know what? He has made us supremely, eternally healthy and wealthy in Jesus, hasn't he? And you know what? In the new heaven and new earth, is there going to be any poverty there? Nope. Is there going to be any sickness or disease there? Nope. So yeah, he does want us to be healthy and wealthy, but his way and his timetable. But what does the Bible then say about real wealth and prosperity? And it does have a lot to say about money, but what it says about it is it's saying that we need to have the right attitude about it. Proverbs 13:11 says this, "Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow." You want to get rich quick? Well, if it works, and it usually doesn't, if it works, guess what? And you're doing it in a wrong way, it's just going to dwindle away. You may think, "Oh, I have this wealth for the rest of my life." Well, guess what? The day's going to come when you are going to stand before the Lord and give an account, aren't you? And it's all going to begin. Does anybody take their money with them when they stand before the Lord? Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Righteousness, or pursues righteousness, sexual integrity, careful with speech, diligence, pursuing real prosperity the right way. And finally, the sixth one, the sixth major theme we're going to look at is this. You may think this one is a mouthful, and it is, but here goes. The wise person accepts responsibility for choices while resting in the sovereignty of God. The wise person accepts responsibility for choices while resting in the sovereignty of God. You know, the Proverbs says a lot about not just the choices that we make and that we're responsible to God for those, but also quite a bit to say, though, about, but God is in charge. He's sovereign. How do you put those two things together? I don't know. We're going to look at it a little more closely. I'm going to tell you right now, we're not going to figure it out, but I hope we can get a little better understanding of it. Biblical teaching on this tension or this dynamic between human responsibility and the choices we make and how we're accountable to God for them. And yet at the same time, God is sovereign over it all. There's a great verse that I think captures this thought. It's in Proverbs 16, verse 9, that says, "In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." We make decisions and choices. We do these things, but God is sovereign over it all. God determines. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his step. So a wise person does not think that he or she is responsible for it all. I'm going to make the choices. I'm in charge here. And ignores the sovereignty of God, or maybe sometimes even a good person who believes and is wanting to follow the Lord, but takes on way too much responsibility for the results. Anybody here ever do that? Take on way too much responsibility for how things go, how things turn out? I'm not saying there's a place for responsibility, isn't there? And we are responsible to a degree. But in the end, God is sovereign, isn't he? The wise person recognizes that. On the other hand, the wise person doesn't just think, God's sovereign, doesn't matter what I do, he's determined it all, he's in control of all things. I'm just this piddly little human being here that can make no difference whatsoever. It's all the sovereign Lord. It doesn't matter what I do. Guess what? It does matter what you do and I do, because God is going to hold us accountable and we're going to be judged for it at the judgment seat of Christ, aren't we? The wise person accepts responsibility for choices while resting in the sovereignty of God. So yeah, I'm responsible, you're responsible, but yet God is in charge, he is sovereign, and you know what, I can rest in that, and I don't need to bear the weight of it all myself on my own shoulders, because he is the sovereign Lord. There are assorted other themes, we're not going to go into detail, but just to give you a sampling of, as I said, the dozens of themes, the Proverbs, the characteristics of wisdom, those things, but also wisdom accepts rebuke. How many of you like being told that you're wrong and you need to straighten up and fly right? I don't. The wise person learns to accept that rebuke. The wise person also blesses others. Wise person realizes that life isn't all about me and my happiness and what I want. Wisdom blesses others. Wisdom is obedient. That's kind of the summary of a lot of this stuff, right? Is being obedient to what God says. Wisdom takes good advice. Wisdom doesn't just take any old advice, but wisdom does take good advice. Some of us, and present company accepted here, think they know everything and they don't need to listen to what somebody else says. That's a fool, isn't it, who thinks that they know everything, they don't need anyone else's advice. A wise person learns then, too, to overlook insults. Did you know that that's a characteristic of wisdom, is that someone can insult you, and you can just let it go. Overlook that. Is there a time to confront? Yeah, in wisdom says there's a time, though, to confront the fool. And then there's a time not to say anything to the fool. Wisdom accepts discipline. Oh, boy. Wisdom avoids needless trouble. I said needless trouble. You cannot avoid trouble in life. We're going to have trouble. As long as we are in this world, in these mortal bodies, we're going to have trouble, aren't we? But a fool invites, by his actions and attitudes, invites needless trouble. A wise person averts anger. You know, one of the major things, we'll look at this next week, one of the major characteristics of a fool in the book of Proverbs is someone who has no control over their anger. You want to know a fool? Look at a fool. Look at the person who's blowing up all the time, can't control their temper. It's a huge characteristic of a fool in the book of Proverbs. Because have you ever seen, Jesus says, the righteous, James says what? There's the righteousness of God, and then there is the anger of man, and that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God, right? That kind of, and I'm not talking about holy anger, righteous anger. I'm talking about unrighteous, unholy anger. Does that ever do anything good? I haven't seen it do anything good ever. The fool gives full vent. Proverbs says, the fool gives full vent to his anger. Stupid is as stupid does. Those are some of the characteristics of wisdom. Wisdom is as wisdom does. Briefly then, some blessings, the blessings of wisdom. Well, wisdom is the most valuable possession we can have. And well, Jesus Christ is the most valuable. If you have Jesus, you have it all, don't you? And the wise person walks then in wisdom, walks in fear of the Lord. But Proverbs 3:13-18 says, blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Do you believe that? Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths our peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her, to those who lay hold of her. They will be blessed. Wisdom brings blessing and is the most valuable thing you can have. Wisdom also then protects. Proverbs 3:21-26 says, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Wisdom protects you. Wisdom brings many benefits. Proverbs 4:4-9 says, "Lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Esteem her and she will exalt you. Embrace her, she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor." Finally then, wisdom, the blessing of wisdom, is that it provides for or gives you a future and a hope. Proverbs 24:13-14 says, "Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off." The future of the wise is a hopeful one, isn't it? It doesn't mean that the wise person can control the future and everything that's going to happen. But it means what? That the Lord has your back. And the Lord has promised to reward you and bless you for eternity. That's a pretty good future, isn't it? The characteristics of wisdom. Wisdom is as wisdom does. The blessings of wisdom. It brings innumerable blessing here, but most importantly, for eternity, doesn't it? Have you said yes to the call of wisdom? Have you listened to that call? Have you said yes? And I would suggest that saying yes to the call of wisdom isn't a one-time event. You didn't decide one day, you know what, I'm going to pursue wisdom. Going to pursue this, and now my life has just been this constant upward trajectory ever since. We have to constantly choose to say yes to that call. It's so easy. Or maybe I'm the only one here. Does anyone else here find it easy to decide you're going to pursue wisdom in the right way, but then fall back into foolishness? Sometimes, you know, and that's the power of folly is, we know it's stupid, we know it's idiotic, we know it does nothing good, and yet we keep going back to it, right? Proverbs says what? It's like a dog returning to its vomit is the fool in his folly. He keeps going back to it. I need a savior. Anybody else here need a savior? You see, if I didn't have a Savior, I'd keep returning to the folly again and again and again. I do anyway sometimes, even though I have a Savior. And that's why I'm grateful that He forgives and cleanses. But He's delivered me once for all by faith. Have you said yes to the call of wisdom? Do you want to be a wise man, a wise woman? I don't want anybody to be a wise guy. But I do hope that you'll be a wise man, a wise woman. If you said yes to that call, and it is not a one-time deal, it's a daily choice to say, I'm going to pursue wisdom. I'm not going to live like a fool. If you said yes, it begins with the fear of the Lord. Jesus is the key to it all. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have given us supreme wisdom in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through him is found all riches and treasures and hope for eternity. Lord, we admit, we acknowledge our helplessness. We admit our rebelliousness. We admit that we have fallen short of your moral perfection. But we thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us there. We know that our sin brings consequences. The consequences that Scripture say is death. But we thank you that you have sent a Savior who has conquered sin and death, who took the punishment for us on the cross, who rose again. Now, Lord, by faith, we say, yes, I admit, I'm a rebel. I've been a fool. I've pursued the wrong, and it has not brought me anything good. Lord, I turn from that. I repent from that. I ask your forgiveness. I thank you that Jesus bore the shame and the penalty for me. And I want to say yes then to that upward call of wisdom now. Forgive me, Lord. Help me to walk in newness of life. And Lord, I have chosen on many occasions to say, yes, I want wisdom, and yet I've played the fool. Thank you that the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse me. Help me to walk in wisdom daily, to say yes to her daily. May I listen and say yes. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.